You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95BFM.
Yes, this week on The Green Desk, Connor speaks with Associate Professor Craig Radford about new research suggesting that ship noise reduces the communication space of marine animals. He started off by asking how the experiment was conducted over the last 9 months.
This project was run by my PhD student as part of my Rutherford Discovery Fellowship, where we had several hydrophone stations out in the Hauraki Gulf for this particular aspect we used for. So we had one out near the main shipping channel, just southwest of Little Barrier. We had another one at Point, another shipping channel, which is kind of north, southeast of Little Barrier. Then we had one off Turi at Shira Rock, and we had another one just off Flat Rock. And basically, these autonomous recorders, we just place them on the seafloor, go manage them every 3 months, download the data. So we have a recording schedule of 2 minutes every 20 minutes, and these devices just record for about 3 months.
What sort of size are these devices? Are they sort of like a cray pot, or are they quite large?
Oh, no, they're small. So if they're basically underwater microphones, much like the microphones you use in your radio station, but these things just go, they're waterproofed and go underwater, and they're about the size of a Coke can, a little bit bigger than a Coke can.
And they'll go for 3 months without any sort of maintenance or battery change, right, or anything like that?
Yep, so we had eight of these, so we cycled them out and charged them up, downloaded them and cycled them out every 3 months. And along with that, we were collecting all the AIS data. So the AIS data is the ship tracking network that all large commercial vessels need to have. And this is a GPS tracking, so we can track the ships as they come down the Hauraki Gulf. And then we can then match that up with our sound recordings and work out how loud these ships are, and then model that information based on the hearing ability of the animal and level of their sound production, and work out what the potential effects could be.
The species that you were looking at in particular is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the bride's whale and the big eye, the reef fish?
Yeah, so it's pronounced brooder's whale.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. And yes, the big eye fish, which is a model species that I've been working on because we know a lot about these guys in terms of their sound production and hearing ability. They're a nocturnal reef species, and they use sound to maintain their shell structure while they're out foraging at night, so they can maintain contact to maintain the school size at night time where vision is limited.
What size of a school would these fish normally live in?
So the fish are pretty small. They range from kind of 30 centimetres up to about 60 centimetres, and there can be 50 to 100 fish in a school. It all depends of how big the cave is that is in the surrounding, where they are during the day. If it's a large cave, more fish can fit in it. If it's a small cave, the size of the school, I think, depends on the size of the cave that they're taking refuge in during the day.
And so the data is indicating that the communication space, or the ability for these fish to communicate in the area around them, is dramatically reduced by shipping vessels.
Yeah, that's right. So if you think about it as if you're at a party, so the louder the party is, you know, it becomes, the ability for you to hear your mate becomes impaired, and you have to come closer together in order to communicate. So it's the same sort of thing that's happening with these guys. So as the ship comes past, it creates a very loud noise. In order for these animals to communicate, they would have to become closer together.
And just like you might lose communication with your mates at a party, that's not always a very good thing, and that's what we're thinking for these fish as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. So if you think of the whales, they communicate based on our modelling data over kilometres, and if you reduce that space at which they can talk to each other, then you can potentially interrupt important biological processes which they use sound to rely on.
The question I have is, this study looked at commercial fishing vehicles. Is this something that would extend to the everyday user and water user? It doesn't have to be a large commercial-sized boat?
No, that's right. So it's a lot more. It's a lot harder to monitor and track small boats. So that's our next step, is trying to understand, because the recreational activity in the Hauraki Gulf is huge compared to the rest of New Zealand, and fizz boat can be loud, and depending, you know, whether it's a two-stroke, four-stroke, or some other larger fishing vessel, that's the next step, is trying to understand the effects of these smaller vessels and whether they're having the same causing the same problems, well, same issues as what the larger vessels can do.
Is this kind of research quite new in a New Zealand setting, or is it something we've seen replicated already internationally and you are just adding on to that field of work, or how does it work?
So I've got a lot of international colleagues, and we've kind of been working on the same issue but in different locations around the world. And what's new, what this study adds to the international literature, is that we've also taken into account the natural ambient variation, where a lot of other studies internationally have just focused on the ships. So we get a lot of variation in the ambient sound, so the natural soundscape during the day. So at dusk, we have what's called a dusk chorus, so that's much like the dawn chorus that you'd hear in a forest, where a lot of the birds start chirping. Same scenario happens underwater during dusk, where we get a lot of fish making sound, a lot of invertebrates. And by taking the natural sound levels and the variations, we've been able to prove that the noise from the shipping is on top of that. So even though we get the natural variation, the noise of the ships is much greater, and it's going to have a greater effect.
That's really amazing to think that, like when you walk into a forest and hear all the sounds of the world around you, you could experience that in an underwater setting as well.
That's right. So that's where Jacques Cousteau, famous movie The Silent World, is not really a fair comment on the underwater environment, because it is really noisy. There's lots of animals that make noise, and it's the only fact that scuba is noisy. So when you're actually under there, all you really hear is your scuba bubbles. So if you're lucky enough to have rebreather technology, which reduces all that extraneous noise scuba produces, you don't actually get to hear an accurate count of what it sounds like underwater, unless you can record using hydrophones.
What are the recommendations from the study?
Through some other work in trying to prevent whale strike, they've actually slowed the ships down going into the ports. And as a side effect of that, it's actually reduced the sound level of the ships, which has reduced that effect of reduction of the communication space. So by slowing the ships down, you effectively reduce the noise and you don't reduce the area that animals can communicate over. Is much greater than what they would be if they were going full steam as they used to into the ports. So slowing ships down, I think it's an important compromise between the industry and acknowledgement of them being able to do something.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Order.
Yes, indeed. That was Connor Mercer speaking with the University of Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.